Klaatu, Verada.
We're on express elevator to hell. Going down.
Oh, yes. There will be blood.
Look, okay, just get any blunt objects together, all right? If you get cornered, bash them in the head. That seems to work out. Keep together, stay sharp, and follow me.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
He doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet.
Paranormal, is that what they're calling your kind these days?
We'll tear your soul apart.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Any zombies out there?
Don't say that.
What?
That.
What?
That.
The Z word. Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.
All right.
Are there any out there, though?
They're here.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
He was Dawn on the thing. I have nothing this week. I honestly didn't even want to be cute coming in. But anyways.
Well, anyway, we talk horror. And we like to start with news of the week, which we call Screams of the Week. MJ, do you have something for us?
We've got a few things, I guess, coming out. The full trailer of Annabelle, or the new trailer of Annabelle, came out. And
yeah, that looks scary.
Absolutely creepy. And I love it. I'm seriously, I like it. I like it. I'm ready to go for that. I'm ready to go on that thing.
Oh, I will so be there at midnight.
God knows. I can't wait for that. Now, The Possession of Michael King is now in theaters this week. I have not been to the theater and seen it yet, so don't ask me for a movie review because I unfortunately have too much of a working life when it comes to the fall.
I can't go to a movie like the opening weekend anymore because everything is ruined by people going there. It's ruined.
Everything
you got all the stupid
people,
cell phones.
Yeah.
You got people that bring their kids at like the wrong types of movies.
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah. Like if it's Disney, I get it. Okay, bring your kids. That's who the intended audience is for. But these parents that bring their kids to a freaking horror movie, what are you thinking?
And we're not talking teenagers. I mean, these are like under 10 years old.
Yeah, like 5 years old. Like, no.
And also babies. Like anywhere between, 2 months to 6 months, they're there. I'm like, are you serious? Because the kid screams through the whole thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can't tell which one, who's screaming, the person on the screen or the little child, little monster.
And then you got those idiots on the stupid cell phones.
Oh, God.
It is like, so damn annoying.
You know, I tried to get to go see the Ben Affleck movie. They just won't let me. So I just grabbed the ticket. And I need to call Tommy. Oh, my God. Did you see what Justin Bieber was wearing this week? Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know when I go to a movie now? I wait about 2 weeks after everybody's seen it, and then I can go like during the week, late night show, and I get the whole theater to myself.
Oh, I know. The town I live in, and I'm gonna pick on the town I live in for a minute. We don't have an independent movie theater here, which sucks.
What?
Yeah, we don't have an independent movie theater. There's plenty of places to put one, but I don't think it's economically viable to put an independent movie theater around here. If anybody wants to go in with me on that, I'd be more than happy to give you my cell phone number. There's plenty of available spaces downtown to put an independent movie theater. We just got a brand new performing arts center. And we're in the middle of a very controversial, quote unquote, downtown revitalization going on at the moment. and it's looking good. I mean, we got a, you know, like a new hotel and all that other good garbage. About 400 restaurants are popping up. Downtown's actually starting to look like a downtown again. Not downtown Baghdad. So yeah, I just alienated everybody in Florence that listens to this podcast. But no, I mean, they probably tell you the same thing. I mean, Florence, there are certain parts of Florence that doesn't like downtown Baghdad. So
I'm probably trying to imagine that. I'm getting a really weird image.
Well, there are certain neighborhoods in this town where downtown Baghdad may be safer. But but anyways, enough crapping all over my town. No, I don't go out to the movie theaters. And it's not, well, okay, it's partly because I'm agoraphobic. But the main reason why I don't go out is for some of the same reasons you do. But I've also got to deal with the hip-hop crowd. And you know what I mean by the hip-hop crowd. I'm not, and this is not to sound racist, because there are white people in the hip-hop crowd, too. I think they got to go into a horror movie and scream at the screen.
Oh, jeez. I hate those, too.
Don't go in there! Yeah, you know you're going to get killed. Like, shut the hell up. Just shut up. Yeah. Let's other people enjoy the freaking movie, for crying out loud. And then you've got the religious crowd. This is what you don't get, because I live in the Bible Belt. And I have to deal with the religious crowd and anybody who, you know, there's always got to be that one person. That one person, you go into hell for watching that. Okay. And? Got it. Any more interesting comment? Is that all you're going to say? Yeah, that's going to stop me from walking in to a horror movie. Oh, what are you going to go see? We're going to go see Transformers. Oh, really? You're going to hell for that, too. And then just walk off. But you know, and it's freaking $12. And I know I'm
wow. No,
it's probably more where you're at.
Yeah.
$12.
No, mine's less.
Really?
Yeah. Well, $8.25.
Damn. $12 to get in here. And then you got to go, and what I think is, and I used to work in a movie theater, so I could actually say this without prejudice or reservation. The biggest scam in the world is movie theater concessions.
Uh-huh. I agree.
And those poor people behind the counter. I mean, yes. Yes, they actually do get bonuses every once in a while for upselling.
Mm-hmm.
But they try so hard. And then, you know, I don't know, with your big theater, there's always the arcade. It's in the lobby. No.
Oh, yeah, God. Our new one has a big arcade, yeah.
And you got to navigate your way through the idiots that just walked in the door just to bought a ticket to just play in the arcade for half the day. Not going to go see a movie, but play in the arcade.
Oh, no, they don't charge for ours, too. People can just walk in and go to the arcade. It's not near the movie line. So, yeah, they get in for free.
Yeah. And then you know where our movies are located, about Theater 12. So you have to walk all the way down the end of the hall while you're navigating to the first five theaters of the most popular movie of the week.
You know, that's funny you say that, because the last one I went to see was Deliver Us from Evil, and yeah, I was in theater 10, which is like way at the end of the hall. Oh, yeah.
And you had to navigate your way through theaters 1 through 4, which is the same movie, but it's always full, and there's always those two or three late idiots. This always happens to me. There's always that late idiot that goes at, like, buys their ticket and then just runs at warp speed to try to make it in before the movie starts. And they always end up body checking me into the into the wall, and don't even have the politeness to say excuse me.
Right.
I mean, jeez. Right. So anyways, that's why I don't go to movie theaters.
Well, they make me homicidal. Do my makeup for theater, so when people see me, they go around me.
We'll see, you know.
And like I said, with my new system, nobody's mm-hmm. around, so I get the whole damn place to myself.
Yeah. Although I did actually go to one movie once. This is great. Mission Impossible 2. And for everybody who's ever said, no, Mission Impossible 2 is awesome, let me tell you something about this. We went opening weekend, me and the girl I was dating at the time. And for those of you don't know, that movie's about, what, now, 13 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so, yeah, it's about 2000. We're in a movie theater in Dallas. Packed, right? About halfway through the movie, I looked around. We were the only two people left.
Really? Everybody left?
Everybody walked the hell out.
Suck that one, Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're going to be members of Scientology anytime soon, are we?
That's okay. I can do without those guys.
Me too. But yeah, we need to get back on topic, don't we? Because people are probably going to sit there and like, oh, you're rambling again.
You know, no, actually, this was a topic I think we should have discussed, is about going to the theater and how it's ruined nowadays by the new technology with those stupid cell phones, smartphones, mm-hmm. whatever, that can do games, they can video chat, whatever. I mean, it's ruined by all that. And parents inappropriately bringing their young kids to a horror film.
You know, that would, if there are any horror directors or writers listening to this podcast, I actually have an idea for you.
Ooh, let's
make
go.
make a horror film inside a movie theater. Where they just start offing people right and left.
Beautiful.
Yeah, let's get on that. Let's get on that.
Like, oh, instead of in a horror film, okay, there's rules in a horror film of not to do so you don't get killed, right?
Right.
So let's do the same thing for the movie theater.
Yeah. Yes. Score, we win. Okay.
Cell phone is on and ringing. Kill that sucker.
Kill that mother. Just do it right there. Back of the head. Double tap.
Kids running up and down the aisles. Kill those parents. And yes, we'll be a little vicious. We can kill the kids too.
All right. We have now officially endorsed child murder, haven't we? Oh, crap.
Oh, and the
Nancy
idiots,
Grace is going to be on us idiots, now.
The idiots that talk all through the damn film, definitely shoot those jerks in the head.
Can we do this like a Saw?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like bear traps on the floors for when the little miscreants run up and down the aisles. And exploding cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. And anybody caught talking gets a nail right through the back of their head.
Oh, yeah.
A la American Psycho.
Oh, boy. See, this podcast is turning fun now.
This podcast is now our weekly way of getting rid of our homicidal rage. Good Lord.
There's oh, and
people
then,
listening to
you know
this podcast
you know
to the FBI.
No, you know what the real kicker is now for the movie theaters here?
What's that?
So they had late night showings, like the last showing would be sometime between 11 and 11:30 is the last show.
Yes.
You know what the late show is now? 9:30.
9:30?
Yeah. I was like, what? There is no like after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock show. What?
Why?
Well, it's because the kids are back in school.
Oh, that's right. The children. Gotta think about the children.
Yeah.
Think about the children.
I'm like, you just screwed me now. Because yeah, my best time to go is like after 11 to go see the late night show all by myself.
We're going to just title this podcast, This Podcast Hates Children.
No, we don't hate children. We hate children who are in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Yeah, inappropriate child. Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
I mean, I went to the new Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh Lord.
There was couples that brought babies. I am not kidding. Well, they brought their babies.
We just couldn't find a sitter. Well, you shouldn't have had a kid then.
It was just ridiculous.
I get so tired of that argument, too. I'm so tired of that argument. Just because we have kids doesn't mean our personal life has to go away. Yes, it does. It's called...
Yeah.
Are you ready for this word? It's called responsibility. You and have parenting. It now. Yeah. You're in charge of a young life now. Some of your life is going away. Okay.
You know, the theaters can make extra money if they had, like, a little daycare center.
Then that would actually mean they'd have to be attentive to something. And, again, I'm using my theater experience. Uh-huh. We weren't paid enough for that shit. All right? We weren't paid enough. We don't get paid enough to care.
No, this is in an ideal environment to where the employee would be paid over $10 an hour. They would charge like an extra $5 or $6 for this service. So yeah, going to the movies will be like $30 or $40
right.
by the time it's done.
Yeah. Well, it'll all be done
total
by robots.
25 for me to go.
Yeah. You know what's going to happen anyways. Once the minimum wage is raised, it's all going to be done by robots anyways.
Cool.
Just like McDonald's. Everybody's demanding, you know, like $15 an hour for minimum wage.
That I sort of agree with.
I don't.
I mean, you work. They're supporting families on this wage, and they really can't.
Yeah, I know, but. Yeah, at least yes, right. At least they're trying, but still.
Yeah.
I'm a libertarian and no. Yeah.
Well, I don't agree with $15. That is very steep. At least up to 10.
This is my problem with it, and I'm gonna get way political for a minute.
But
do people actually know what's gonna happen once the minimum wage is raised? Because everybody just assumes that everything's going to cost the same. It's not.
Oh, no.
Because the poverty level will go up,
mm-hmm.
which means people have more income, which means prices are going to go higher on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we'll be within 5 or 6 years, we'll be, you know, $10 isn't enough. 10 an hour isn't enough. You know what I mean? And then we'll be asking for a minimum wage raise of $15. That's ridiculous. Now, I do think that, you know, a lot of these businesses could do a lot better with paying their employees.
Yeah.
But to actually sit there and go, no, you have to pay them at least $15. I'm more interested in, no, you have to at least help them out with some benefits, you know, like medical coverage.
Definitely.
Let's go there before we start raising, you know, the minimum wage. And crap. I get so tired of hearing, well, we need to raise the minimum wage. No, we don't. We need to give these people... You want to talk about living wage? Why don't we give these people a little bit more, you know, help with the health care?
Yes.
You know, let part-time employees get health care.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that part. I understand. I agree. Because there are people trying to support families. I mean, this, you know, a married couple with a couple of kids...
Yeah,
and they're working on minimum wage. It does not pay the rent.
Yeah, but there's also this is going to sound heartless. I'm going to say this, but there's also people that are on minimum wage that they know they can do better and don't because they know they can get the government benefits. I call them benefit cheats, but you know.
Or in California, there's a lot of generational. Welfare suckers.
Yes, there are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they know the rules.
I was there. I was there. I was not one of those people because, you know, because I was single, had no kids, and my last name was not Garcia Hernandez or Fernandez. I got no help.
Now, just so we don't sound racist.
No, I wasn't
being
racist.
There are white people, black people, and everything else. in between that do this. So, anyways, we have wasted 20 minutes already.
Okay, back on topic.
Getting all political and shit.
Back on topic. Screams of the week. Yes. H.P. Lovecraft's birthday.
It is H.P. Lovecraft's birthday. We'll get to that in a minute. Hey, the new the new trailer for the new Amityville horror movie came out.
I have not seen that. How is it?
It's coming in January, and it is beautiful.
Ooh.
Get your
What's the story
over there
about?
Soon. You know, I've completely forgotten. I feel like I'm crying today. I'm kidding. It's helmed by Maniac remake director Frank Coughlin. And Amityville The Awakening stars Jennifer Jason Leigh. Hello.
Oh.
So she gets topless.
I haven't heard about her in a while.
I know, right? Bella Thorne, McKenna Grace. Yes, I know. She's not the one that got topless. Cameron Monaghan, Taylor Spreiter, Thomas Mann, and Jennifer Morrison are in it. Leigh plays Joan, a single mother raising three kids on her own. So this is almost like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, too.
Oh, jeez.
Because, you know, that's probably what happened to her. The family moves into the infamous Amityville house, only to learn of its very dark history. Grace will play Juliet, the youngest daughter of Leigh's character. Thorne plays Belle Monaghan. Thorne plays Belle. Monaghan is James. Spretzer is Marissa. Mann is Terrence. And Morrison is Candace. Amityville, The Awakening. Set to go into theaters on January 2, 2015. January 2, by the way, is a Friday.
Oh, I'll be working.
Yes. It's also the day. I don't know how busy you're going to be because that's the day after New Year's. Everybody's going to be
Very.
So freaking hungover. Yeah. Don't drink and drive.
Okay. No.
I'm just saying that if you're going to party, don't drink and drive. There's really no excuse for it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
Does your town have like shuttle yes. cars, you know, instead of taxis, they have shuttles that you pay $5 in?
Hell, we don't pay.
What? Really?
If you're at a bar, like there are certain bars in this town. If you're at a bar, they have a number. And you say, hey, I don't think I can drive. They actually can help you call that number. And they come up and sober rides are free in this town.
Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We used to have that sort of a thing, but then now we have these new shuttles. You know, everybody's trying not to be a taxi, but they're being a taxi.
Oh, that reminds me. Do you have that stupid service in your town that, oh God, they're in deep trouble over here. I can't remember. It's like an app now. And for a couple bucks, you can get somebody to drive you somewhere. I can't remember the name of the app.
Oh, no.
But it's so stupid.
We're not quite up there in technology.
Well, it's just so stupid because you don't know who's coming to pick you up. It could be anybody. It could be a freaking, you know, serial rapist for crying out loud coming to pick you up. Ugh. Anyway.
Well, I think that's a chance everywhere.
That's true, too. Yep. We all saw Sherlock. The cabbie that takes you to your death. Huh?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Your town should be a lot scarier for that.
My town is a lot scarier than what I make it out to be. I may live in the South, but damn, we know how to have a war.
Then a long time ago, we had a serial rapist who was a dentist.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want the gas there.
Anyway, back on topic. What were we talking about?
Yeah, back on topic. This is also, this time next week, we will be saying, this time next week, we will be saying goodbye to our slutty vampire friends down in Bon Tom.
Oh, yeah.
The final orgy is Sunday night.
Are they going to... They're going to kill off Sookie, aren't they?
I don't know. They said they're going to kill somebody off. Bill still won't drink from Yumi, or Sarah Nerlin, if you will.
All right.
Yeah. Eric's fine now, so all the rioting has finally...
He was cured?
Yes. He drunk Sarah's blood.
Got it.
She's the cure, remember?
That's right.
Yeah. So anyways, Eric's fine now, so the women are righteous with the world. I've seen a few countdowns. Like they had these True Blood type countdown things. Uh-huh. And you remember the Eric Ginger sex scene? The one on the throne?
Yeah.
I've seen that one retweeted about 20 times this week.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So anyways, True Blood ends this week, which means we're only 1 week closer to The Walking Dead, which is awesome. And we kind of knew that AMC, that, you know, if you want to make Daryl gay, that does not mean there's any pressure on The Walking Dead to make Daryl gay. It's just weird. Anyways, okay, we do have one death to talk about this week before we get into the main part of the podcast. And this one was kind of a weird suicide, if you really think about it. The founder of Lip Service and Kill City Clothing, Drew Bernstein,
took his own life. That's right, week. I read about that.
That's, yes, thank you very much. Okay. Oops. So once again, you know, I mean, granted this, you know, I guess in the comparative nature of things, still not, it's not up there, but still, that's not good. I mean, we're losing way too many people. But anyways, shall we get into the crux of our special
Let's
this
get
week?
Into it.
Because we have gone way too long on politics and too much garbage. Yep.
Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, we do apologize. Well, you know what? No, I'm not apologizing. We spoke our mind, and this is our podcast. We do what we want to do.
Okay.
Wednesday was August 20th, and that means in 1890, the man by the name of Howard Phillips Lovecraft was born. And this week we are doing a tribute to the great H.P. Lovecraft, who would have been in my math, let's see here, 1990. I'm trying to do math in my head, folks. This is going to get dangerous. 124. Believe it or not, he would have been 124 on Wednesday.
And he died when he was like 46 years old.
Yeah. Died and just like every other genius of his time, pretty much penniless.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't really he was big in his time, yes, but after his death is when he really started to gain notoriety,
popularity,
absolutely. Yeah. And you know, again, H.P. Lovecraft is it's almost insulting to put him with every other horror writer out there. If we had to do a Mount Rushmore of horror writers, yes, you can tell I come from a sports background. This is always a fun thing to do. Who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of horror writers? Obviously, Poe would go on there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Poe. Yeah. But I think HP would be up there with Poe because they had almost the same type of affliction.
Absolutely.
The tortured, sort of sickly genius.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I am going to say Stephen King's going to be up there, too.
Absolutely. King, by the way, has admitted on several occasions Lovecraft is one of his biggest influences.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in his nonfiction...
Who else would you put up there?
Holy gosh. I mean, obviously, King's got to go up there.
Yes.
Jeez. And that's... that fourth one, though, you could go anywhere.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough one.
I personally like Dean Koontz.
Yeah, Koontz could go up there. I'm trying to go back even further than Koontz, if you can believe that. Trying to think of his name. How about Clive Barker? I put Clive Barker up there.
Absolutely.
So for me, it would be Poe, Lovecraft, King, and Barker.
There you go.
And of course, you know, we're going to have, now we're going to have the Matheson fans just all over us. You realize that,
right? Hey, this is
right?
Our opinion, people. Just yeah. Our opinion.
And we're not discounting Richard Matheson, because he could easily go on this list. All right? But, yeah,
right.
You know, and yeah, I think I'm actually comfortable with that list. It's going to be Barker, Poe, King, and Lovecraft. I think that's the way I would go at this point.
I like it. Yep.
I like it, too. Because it's my list. but anyways, getting back to what Stephen King was saying, now I lost my place. Yeah, there it is. You know, Stephen King's autobiography, Dans Macabre, he said that Lovecraft was responsible for King's own fascination with horror and the macabre, and the single largest figure to influence his own fiction writing. So there you mm-hmm. go. Lovecraft, obviously, we could go through and tell you all of his books. I think they speak for themselves. And if you listen to this podcast, you probably know all of them. And you can probably quote every book by heart.
I just started Reanimator. Or
really?
Herbert West.
Herbert West.
Herbert West.
And you notice, but do you notice where almost all of his the scenes of his book are?
Always at Miskatonic.
Oh, is it Miskatonic?
Yeah.
Or some...
Which is a fictional thing.
Yes. It is loosely based off of a few of the beach areas in Rhode Island, as a matter mm-hmm. of fact. He pretty much, you know, rode around Rhode Island, really made, I think he's probably the most famous citizen from Rhode Island.
Definitely.
Not you, James Woods. Sorry. although, I think, James Woods is from Massachusetts, so isn't he? He's from Quahog!
Quahog.
Hi, Peter. Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy.
And HP inspired a whole bunch of movies.
Yes.
Some were taken from his stories, and others were they took the ideas from them.
Yes.
And made movies. I was just looking at a list the other day.
Most of them, though, a lot of them are the monsters envisioned with the Cthulhu series.
Yes.
The Cthulhu mythos. We're talking about, you know, ancient aliens and the awakening
of the or old gods from the deep.
Yes, the old gods. Yeah, if you really think about it, and I'm not trying to insult anybody here, but can we be honest? Does it not feel like Scientology is a ripoff?
Well, of course it is.
I mean, I don't think a lot of people would, you know, go that far, but I mean, it just feels like Scientology is a slight ripoff of the Cthulhu mythos.
Just a little bit.
They'll never admit to that, by the way. We're gonna get killed for that.
Hitmen are on the way. Oh,
Hitmen. No. I mean, there's just so many great characters, and yeah, you're right. Actually, you are on my favorite Lovecraft story. Believe it or not, Reanimator.
Okay, because I had gotten the opportunity to web chat with Brian Usna, who did Reanimator.
Nice.
And I was trying to ask him about what kind of girl would Herbert West be interested in? Would he be interested in someone who understood him and was really, really, really weird like him? And he goes, no, she has to be dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, because he was not interested in living people, just the dead ones.
Just the dead.
Yeah. So I had started writing another Reanimator film.
Really?
To where this was a really, it's a really good twist. So it's a goth girl who's in love with Herbert West, and she figures out how to infuse magic, like either black magic or dark magic, mm-hmm. into the corpses. And she does it, tests it on herself first. And then she comes back, and then Herbert is in love with her because, you know, she's reanimated dead. So,
right. Ooh, yeah.
I didn't put that by Brian. I don't know if he'd like it.
Well, there are two, I guess what you would call sequels to Reanimator. Mm-hmm. Bride of Reanimator, which was done in the early 90s.
89.
89, 90. I think it was almost the same cast, wasn't it?
Almost. Well, no, it was just because it was new people, well, except for his partner, which was the same from the first Reanimator film.
No, because Jeffrey Combs still played Herbert West.
Yes, he had to.
Yes, Jeffrey Combs, Bruce Abbott was in it. Bruce Abbott was also in the Reanimator.
The first one, yeah.
Yes. There were, yeah, you are right. There are a few new people in it. It was released in 1990, released again in 91. I believe that was the European version.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not that good. Well, I mean, it's good, but it's not, you know, not very.
It's sort of campy. I think the whole part. Point to this is that they made it a little campy because it had to have some humor in it,
right?
Because the whole idea of this is really horrific.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then of course there was Beyond Reanimator. This is one of those
Herbert's in prison.
Yes, this was one of those original sci-fi original movies.
Yeah.
Like, one of the first ones, so, yeah, you knew it was not going to be good. but, yeah, Jeffrey Combs is pretty much, I think that's 90% of his career, isn't it?
He's Herbert West.
He is, yes. Herbert West in this movie. A completely new cast there. Rotten Tomatoes, for those of you wondering, Beyond Reanimator got a review of 45%.
Okay, you were right. It's not a great film.
It's not. But it's still. Not good. But I mean, still. It's funny. Because, yeah, I mean, it still has a cult following. And sometimes they use the term cult to be nice and say the movie was crap. I mean, let's not lie about it here, for crying out loud, okay? You know, it's like, oh, that was a cult film. You mean the movie sucked. I mean, yes, Reanimator did not suck, all right? It was really good.
But it was still a bit campy.
It was still not good, right?
Still campy, yeah.
Yeah. It's still up there. Anyways, that, by the way, we just did our classic movie of the week, too. Was Reanimator by H.P. Lovecraft. So everybody popped that one in this week.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, we did promise a short podcast this week, believe it or not. Mostly because I think we both are trying to figure out our fall schedules.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we could go on and on and on for hours on, you know, things related to Lovecraft and...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's lists and lists of it.
Like, just the music by themselves. I mean, mm-hmm. you got bands like Morbid Angel and Rune Magic mm-hmm. that use the music. You get The Fall has several Lovecraft inspired songs. Believe it or not, Arctic Monkeys actually did a tribute, kind of tribute to Lovecraft in their 2013 B-side of You're So Dark.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And my favorite name for a band, Necrogoblin.
Love it.
Yes, they did a full album tribute to the Necromicon, if you can believe that.
Nice. So,
yeah. Deadmau5 did a song called Cthulhu Sleeps, which appears on the 4x4=12 album. Cradle of Filth, we can't, you know, if we're going to talk about music on this thing, Cradle of Filth, obviously, Cthulhu Dawn, Midian was another album from Cradle. Then you have Merciful Fate, did a song called The Mad Arab.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we could go on and on and on with the music inspired by H.P. Lovecraft. Again, countless books, countless movies, countless games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had Call of Cthulhu was actually probably one of the greatest role-playing games there are out there.
Definitely.
It's one of those dice games. You know, can you believe it's been in print for 30 years?
I'm still amazed by this.
wow. You know, the other, you know, they're actually derived three other dice games, if you can believe that. Arcanum Horror, Eldritch Horror, and Eldersign all came from the Call of Cthulhu.
How cool is that?
Absolutely. There's even a Call of Cthulhu card game.
Really?
Believe it or not.
I did not know that.
And we could go through the list of video games. We'd be here for another hour just going through a list of video games that have been. But, of course, Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Skyrim is definitely very Lovecraftian inspired.
Definitely.
And of
Dead
course,
Space.
Yeah, Dead Space, World of Warcraft, obviously.
Wow.
Yeah, we could just go on and on and on and on and on.
Did you read up on his life, like how he was?
Yes.
He seemed like a very like shy. I want to say shy because he didn't seem to be able to relate to people much.
Yeah.
He was offered the editorship of Weird Tales magazine and he turned it down because he didn't think he could do the job.
I did the job correctly, yes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's,
I was like, wow.
And I mean, that's where a lot of his start came from, though, in the literary world. So he wrote quite a few stories.
Yeah, he was writing for Weird Tales magazine, and he was getting pretty popular there.
Yeah. Lovecraft
and
also...
And he would have made more money had he become an editor.
Yes. But, I mean, that's dedication, though. I mean, the fact that you don't think you can do a good job with a magazine, so you don't take it, although you probably... You know, didn't
Should
give
have.
The world. Yeah, you didn't give the world a good glimpse of your genius. Here's another one that more near and dear to my heart. Edward Das personally invited Lovecraft to join the United Amateur Press Association.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I take it he didn't join.
He did actually join.
Oh, he did.
Believe it or not. And Lovecraft did contribute many poems and essays through the United Amateur Press Association. The Alchemist actually came through there, if you can believe it.
Which was a really crappy movie. Now yes. That was crap.
And that really didn't do the story justice at all. The Alchemist is one of my favorite stories, actually. Yeah. How about this for some of the correspondence that he had? Of course, he was one of the, known as one of the great letter writers of our time. Robert Bloch was one of his correspondents.
Nice. I
believe you know him as the writer of the novel Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Clark Ashton Smith was another one. And how about this? Robert E. Howard.
Conan,
yeah. Many former aspiring authors would pay tribute to his mentoring. So he really did mentor a lot of up-and-coming authors of the time, which I thought is absolutely great. And there's a, there's something to be said about people like that because they're smart enough to realize, hey, I'm doing great in this industry, but there's going to be no industry after I'm gone if I don't get the next generation ready. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people actually realize that, you know, in any industry, that, hey, it's great that you've got your spot, but you're not going to have your spot forever. You got to have somebody ready to come up behind you.
Yeah, no, I don't think people think about that.
Yeah. Lovecraft was married in 1924 to Sonia Green, who was a successful hat shop owner.
Hmm.
Yeah. Lovecraft actually had his weight increased to 200 pounds thanks to his wife's home cooking.
Yeah, because he was tall and gaunt.
Yes. and while
and he became
he was in,
tall and fat.
Yes. While in New York, Lovecraft would, and he established it before he moved to New York. But the Kalem Club really took off when he got to New York. And Henry Everett McNeil was a member. James Ferdinand Morton Jr. was also a member. Reinhard Kleiner was a member of the Kalem Club, too.
Huh.
So there you go with... a few of that. After the marriage, Green lost her business and the assets went away in a huge bank failure. So obviously he had to take a real job. Going back to the weird tales thing for a minute. You know the other reason why he turned that down, right?
What was the other reason?
He would have had to move to Chicago.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
So instead of Lovecraft getting it, Farnsworth Wright ended up getting the job. And, that's when Weird Tales actually got into some serious trouble. I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, I don't.
But shortly after Wright took over, there was a story in Weird Tales magazine, and I can't remember the name of the story. But it had necrophilia in it. And they got in trouble with the government.
Oh, really?
Yes, and there were some censorship guidelines smacked on them. And, of course, Wright, Farnsworth Wright, did not like Lovecraft because Lovecraft was not a fan of Wright's writing.
Mm-hmm.
So Wright obviously got revenge on him by rejecting a lot of his stories in the later years. Of course, Wright changed his mind after Lovecraft's death.
Of course.
Yeah, what a shock, huh?
Yeah.
So, anyways, he would returned to Providence at the end of his life. And, and just like every other story, you know, of the authors of the time, he did not make enough money selling his stories.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And again, a lot of these guys did not make a ton of money in their lives, and they weren't truly appreciated in their lives. Poe was another one that wasn't that appreciated in his life.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He was so talented.
Yeah. And it wasn't until after his death, though, that people started realizing how great Poe was. And the same thing happened to Lovecraft. He would, in 1936, would get cancer of the small intestine and would die March 15th, 1937 in Providence. And yeah. What's on, do you know what is on his tombstone?
I am Providence.
Yes. Other than the normal stuff, it is I am Providence. A line from one of his personal letters. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Wow.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that should wrap up our Lovecraft portion of the program.
And that was fun.
That was fun. Yeah. That was an awkward transition. We gotta get better at these transitions. Anything else?
It's a work in progress.
It is a work in progress. Anything else going on, or
can I talk about a book?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. We need to talk more about.
I'm sorry,
books.
It's not a Lovecraft book.
It happens.
All right, it's Mary Janice Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
She does this really funny series called the Undead series with her vampire queen Betsy.
Right.
So Betsy, she has a tragic life. She's in only 30. She dies. She comes back to life and she's told she is the prophesied vampire queen. And she doesn't accept any of this because being a vampire, having to suck blood. And there's this whole series all about Betsy trying to deal with being the prophesied vampire queen. And she finds out she has a king.
Mm-hmm.
And she just is at odds with what she is. But she also finds out in some of the series that she doesn't have to drink as much blood as often as regular vampires do, because she's the queen. And she finds out she's pretty hard to kill. Even
nice.
With a stake to the heart. All they have to do is pull the stake out, she comes back. So it's a real cool series called, it starts off with Undead and Unwed, to where she dies, comes back, gets told she's a vampire. Oh, and then in the series she finds out she has a half sister from her stepmother. Who actually is, her stepmother was possessed by the devil at the time.
The devil!
The devil has a baby who is her half-sister, who is, she's very nice. She looks like an angel. But later in the series, she comes into her nature. So it's a really good series. It reminds me a lot of Charlaine Harris with the Sookie Stackhouse with the humor. So that's my recommended read, the Undead series by Mary Janice Davidson.
Nice. All right.
It's up to 13 books.
13 books now. That's actually really good.
Yeah. So. I don't think she's going to. She has other series too. There's a werewolf series, she has a mermaid series. I mean, this is a really fun, a fun writer. She takes these supernatural topics and she puts a whole ton of humor in it because it's a person trying to deal with such weird things in the only way they can. So it's fun.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. Well, I think that's wrap it up for the week.
Yes. Sounds good. We did good.
We did good. And we're sorry if we bored you to tears.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get out of here. Screw it.
And stay tuned next time for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Later, kitties.
Watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister.
They look like psychos. Is that what they look like? They were vampires. Psychos do not explode when sunlight hits them. I don't give a fuck how crazy they are.
Anybody else wonder who the hell opened that door?
Those people back there, they wasn't normal. Normal folks, they don't spit out bullets when you shoot them.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble gum.
When a man's jawbone drops off, it's time to reassess the situation.
Father.
Game over, man. It's game over.
Everybody dies, but us, we gonna carry on and plan the sequel, because let's face it, baby, these days, you gotta have a sequel.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.